There is so much going on right now in the world of sports. Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. If you missed it, the breaking news coming down just a few minutes ago. Sharon Moore, former Michigan coach, not only fired today for cause for an alleged inappropriate relationship, he has now been detained by police because they want to investigate and see what's going on with potential charges, according to a report from ESPN's Pete Thamel. Wow. That, along with the Hawks rumors that they could potentially be interested in an Anthony Davis trade. And then, of course, the Falcons with Raheem Morris, the speculation, could he be back? And then the really unfortunate situation with the Ray McLeod posting that he was not let go for performance reasons. And then he makes another post about how he's struggled this season and he's getting all these Falcons, Michael Penix Jr. included, A.J. Terrell, Chris Blair, Kadarius Hodge, all showing up in the comments section showing support and love. So what does that say about the state of the team right now? We'll take your calls in just a couple of minutes. But right now, did want to talk some hot stove. Baseball is really starting to heat up after a very slow start at the winter meetings. Our buddy Danny Vietti of the Believe Network and CBS Sports on the horn now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Danny, quite a couple of days for our friends up there in New York. The Mets first losing Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers. Now today, Pete Alonso to the Orioles. What are the Mets doing, in your opinion, Danny?
Yeah, not to mention the trade with Texas that swapped Brandon Nimmo and Marcus Semien. So there hasn't been a ton of noise from the hot stove yet. I mean, we're still very early on. Years past tell us that a lot of the action actually tends to happen even after the holidays, after the front office meeting. So still a lot to happen. I mean, still Kyle Tucker's still out there. I mean, a lot of the top free agents have still gone unsigned, but the New York Mets always seem to be in the headlines for better or for worse. And with the acquisition from Baltimore to get Pete Alonso, you look at that lineup, boy. I mean, Jeff Passan came out and said it's the best lineup in baseball. It's hard to argue. I will say there are some still unestablished hitters in this lineup, including Jackson Holliday, Jordan Westberg, still young. We still kind of want to see more from Samuel Basayo. But if those former top 15 MLB prospects ends up being exactly who we think they're going to be, you got Jackson Holliday, Jordan Westberg, Gunnar Henderson, now Pete Alonso, Adley Rutschman, and they also brought over Taylor Ward from the Angels. It's hard to argue against that being one of, if not the best lineups in baseball. And this is a division, American League East, where the Blue Jays just made, or one game away from, really one inning away, maybe even one out away from winning the World Series this year. You had the Yankees, of course, that were right there at the top of the division with the Blue Jays, and the Red Sox just missed out on the postseason as well. So the American League East, it is always a gauntlet, and now Pete Alonso heading to the American League East as well. It's just going to be that much more difficult to get these guys out.
Speaking of the NL East as well, how big of a risk are the Phillies taking by giving Schwarber that contract? Is he going to be able to be the same player at the end of it that he is right now?
Yeah, the biggest concern for me is just the age, right? Like, coming into last season, the Phillies were, I think it was bottom five when you look at average age of roster. And typically when you have a roster that are, a lot of the guys are in their 30s, even low 30s, mid 30s, you know, at least what history tells us is that it is past the prime of their careers. And we even saw Phillies president come out and say that Bryce Harper even might not even be in the prime of his career anymore. So you start to look at this lineup, Schwarber's going to be 33 next year. Bryce Harper is going to be 34 next year. Trey Turner, he'll be 33. Trey Turner still doesn't look like he's missing a beat. But, you know, Kyle Schwarber's not getting any younger. Harper's not getting any younger. Castellanos, I mean, his future is certainly in doubt. All indications are that it would be unlikely that he would be in a Phillies uniform next year. It feels like it's a transition year for the Phillies, but it also kind of feels like it's one last gasp. But I kind of felt like it was that way this last season. It was like, okay, this roster's not getting any younger. You know, Zach Wheeler, he can't stay healthy all the time, at least seemingly as he has the last few years. They're not going to be able to keep Christopher Sanchez healthy all the time, Aaron Nola, Lizardo. So it kind of felt like this last season was the swan song. And now bringing back Schwarber, which they absolutely deserve credit in doing, my biggest concern is, okay, did they miss their mark by missing out, by not hoisting a trophy these last couple of years? And are they clinging too hard to a roster that is already past their prime?
Okay, so when it comes here to Atlanta, it's been pretty quiet on the Western front. One name they've been linked to is Robert Suarez. Looks like a projected deal from MLB Trade Rumors is 3 years, $48 million. You think something like that would get it done?
I don't have a number, but that sounds about right. If it's not Suarez, here's the thing, though, is like you bring back your closer already, right? So Iglesias, that's great. It's a one-year deal, so it's not going to handcuff you for too long. What you don't want to do, and this is what the Padres found themselves in this last season, which is a lot of the reason why Suarez opted out, but the Padres really handcuffed them in that they had four or five relievers that were making 10-plus, 8-plus million dollars a year. And it was great for them this last year because the Padres had a dominant bullpen. Once it got to that sixth, seventh inning, I mean, it was lights out. But at the same time, you just aren't – it's not a sustainable formula. You cannot usually have – with a payroll being a factor, you typically can't have four or five relievers making that much money. And so, yeah, Robert Suarez is going to cost a pretty penny, and it should be noted that Suarez is also 35 years old. He's a little bit of a late bloomer. So if Suarez isn't the option, there's still some pretty strong arms out there. I mean, Kenley Jansen was phenomenal last year for the Angels in the back of their bullpen. He's a free agent. Kirby Yates, he dealt with injuries much of last season, but 2 years ago, he was an all-star. Pete Fairbanks, he was a closer with the Rays this last year. He is available. I think Atlanta might not be in the headlines for the big names, kind of as you mentioned already, but there are a lot of high-leverage relievers that are not only available, but could be a little bit more affordable than, say, a Robert Suarez.
Are you in the camp that Kyle Tucker is going to get like a $350, $400 million contract?
It seems that way. I don't think front offices are hesitating due to the lack of a second half that he had a year or this past season, I should say. If you look at his numbers, at least on a per game basis from 2021 on, his numbers are comparable to only those of Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. When you look at stolen bases, extra base hits, OPS, his career numbers on a per 162 game basis are elite. And it seems that, look, he was dealing with the hand and wrist injury after the All-Star break. And, yeah, maybe that's a Scott Boras excuse, you know, a Scott Boras finagle, if you will. But if you look at his career numbers as a whole, when he's healthy, he is an elite player. And elite players nowadays are making $400-plus million a year. So I think that number is certainly going to start with a four.
So when it comes to some of the other guys that could be on the move and could be available, Cody Bellinger is an interesting one to me. Do you think that could be the pivot plan for the Mets with losing Alonso today?
Yeah, they're going to need some. I don't think Pop, honestly, is what they need. I know they've lost Nimmo now, and now they've lost Alonso. So they're going to definitely need to fill the void somehow. But even last year, it wasn't their lineup that was the issue. I mean, look at their lineup now. They still have Lindor. They brought over Simeon in that Nimmo trade. They still have Juan Soto. Pientos had a little bit of a down year last year, but a very good year 2 years ago. He still got McNeil. They still have high hopes for Francisco Alvarez if he can just stay healthy. They're going to need to fill the void somehow. But if I'm the New York Mets, I'm using the money that they did not use on Pete Alonso, and they had an opportunity to either match that offer or exceed it. They didn't want to go that high. And so my expertise would tell me, okay, our starting rotation right now is kind of in shambles. If you look at their starting rotation as it stands right now, according to Fangraphs, Nolan McLean, who was a rookie last year, David Peterson, a very formidable player, but not anything near elite. Clay Holmes is a former bullpen guy turned starter, was decent last year. And then Sean Manaea, he's going to be 35 years old next year. Kode Senga is the last guy on this list. Kode Senga has dealt with injuries his entire career, and his future seems to be kind of in jeopardy with this organization. So that, to me, that's where their void needs to be filled. The lineup can get by. That Lindor, Soto, Vientos, that is a good enough lineup to get you through 162 games. This starting rotation, however, that's what concerns me. They added Devin Williams to their bullpen. The bullpen will be just fine. But I think the starting rotation is really what they need to address sooner rather than later.
A couple of more players I think that are worth touching on here as we're breaking all things down. MLB Hot Stove with our buddy Danny Vietti here of CBS Sports and the Believe Network. You think that it's like a couple of teams I'll throw at you, and I want to know if you think their roster is like up for the pickings right now in terms of basically maybe one or two untouchable players, but for the most part you can be had if you're there. I'll start with the Minnesota Twins.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go there. We'll go Minnesota Twins. We'll go Cincinnati Reds now that they missed out on Schwarber, and we'll go Arizona Diamondbacks.
We can start with the Twins. So Byron Buxton's obviously the biggest name, I'm guessing, is what you're asking about. Now, yeah. Buxton, even after the swaps last year, even after the dismantling of their roster, he said he was committed to this organization. But at the same time, I mean, this is, as it stands right now, reminiscent of more of a minor league roster right now. I mean, they're not looking seemingly to compete immediately. I think if the right deal was there and the right competing team, you know, I'm not saying the Braves are involved here, but like someone like the Braves, a team that is trying to compete for a title right now, I'd be shocked if Buxton wouldn't at least entertain that idea. Similarly, Pablo Lopez is another guy that could be available for the Twins. Joe Ryan is another guy. I don't think the Twins would balk if the right deal was there for any of their star players. I forget what other teams you listed. Do you mind repeating that?
Oh, yeah, sure. The second team was the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ketel Marte, I know, has been a name that's been mentioned a lot.
Yeah, I think Ketel Marte in particular. Like the Diamondbacks are trying to compete now. Like, this is a roster that just missed out on the playoffs last year. They're 2 years removed from being a World Series team. Rolando Perdomo was darn near an MVP candidate this last year. So was Ketel Marte, of course. Corbin Carroll is an MVP candidate when he's healthy. This roster is good enough to compete in 2026. So I think if they do flip Ketel Marte for somebody, a lot of it would obviously be for a new change of scenery or even for contractual reasons. Now, if they do flip Ketel Marte, I think they're going to need to get some talent that is immediate talent for this roster to compete in 2026. Now, that limits you a little bit. Okay, so you're not going to be trading with typically your contenders, because if you trade with a contender and the team is asking for major league talent right away in return, it's counterintuitive, counterproductive. So that limits you in that Ketel Marte, I mean, the teams that he would need to trade for might be your middle of the pack teams or even maybe your bottom feeder teams. So it complicates things. But it does seem like a change of scenery could be good for both sides, both Ketel Marte and the Diamondbacks. I don't think it's a guarantee he gets moved by the start of next season.
And then the last one before I let you go, the Reds were pushing all their chips into the table for Schwarber. Do they still go out and spend that same money on somebody else, or do you think they could even go the opposite route and maybe make a couple of their guys available as they were ascending at a certain point, but I would consider them a middling team at best for next season?
Yeah, the Reds remind me a lot of what the Seattle Mariners were a few years ago in that they have a starting rotation that is, if not playoff contending, it's World Series contending, truly. I mean, Hunter Green is a legit ace. Andrew Abbott, all-star. Brady Singer, a formidable veteran starter. Nick Lodolo, 10-plus strikeout per nine. And then Chase Burns, another guy, 11-plus strikeout per nine as a rookie last year. This is a World Series-capable starting staff if they can stay healthy. Now, their starting lineup is very, very young, and it's very Ellie De La Cruz dependent. When Ellie was hot last year, the Reds were hot. When Ellie was not hot, which was much of the second half last year, that's where their lineup really got stuck in the mud. So I think for Cincinnati, with a young roster like this, is you want to start mixing in some veteran players. So to answer your question, I think Cincinnati they're going to be buyers without a doubt this offseason. They're going to keep their foot on the gas pedal. But I don't think it's necessarily going to be big. They're not going to be in the Kyle Tucker stakes here. Now, I could see them get involved maybe in a JT Realmuto sake. A veteran catcher, a guy that can provide veteran leadership for a young team. A Ryan O'Hearn possibly as well. He's a free agent as well, a guy that has been there, done that. So I think Cincinnati will keep their foot on the gas pedal, but I think a lot of the reason they wanted Schwarber is because of his playoff experience, his ability to lead a young roster and can lead by example.
Danny, great stuff as always. Appreciate you as always. We will chat again as the hot stove continues to heat up.
Appreciate it, fellas. Happy holidays to you.
All right. Thanks, Danny. That is Danny Vietti there of CBS Sports and the Believe Network. When we get back, we haven't talked any Georgia football, man. They are primed and ready for this college football playoff that's going to be here before we know it. We'll also continue to talk Falcons, Ray McLeod saga. If you missed that, we'll get into it, as well as what's going on with Raheem Morris. But let's talk dogs when we get back with Mark Weiser of the Athens Banner Herald. He's as plugged in as anyone to the dogs, so we'll get all the latest as they prep for the CFP. It's Chris Thomas Tonight, Turtle, with you till 10.